Demons, Fyodor Dostoevsky. Part 3. Chapter 1. The Fate, First Part. The fate took place in spite of all the perplexities of the preceding Spigulin day. I believe that even if Lempke had died the previous night, the fate would still have taken place next morning, so peculiar was the significance Yulia Mikhailovna attached to it. Alas, up to the last moment she was blind and had no inkling of the state of public feeling. No one believed at last that the festive day would pass without some tremendous scandal, some catastrophe, as some people expressed it, rubbing their hands in anticipation. Many people, it is true, tried to assume a frowning and diplomatic countenance, but, speaking generally, every Russian is inordinately delighted at any public scandal and disorder. It is true that we did feel something much more serious than the mere craving for a scandal. There was a general feeling of irritation, a feeling of implacable resentment. Everyone seemed thoroughly disgusted with everything, a kind of bewildering cynicism. A forced, as it were, strained cynicism was predominant in everyone. The only people who were free from bewilderment were the ladies, and they were clear on only one point: their remorseless detestation of Yulia Mikhailovna. Ladies of all shades of opinion were agreed in this, and she, poor dear, had no suspicion. Up to the last hour she was persuaded that she was surrounded by followers, and that they were still fanatically devoted to her. I have already hinted that some low fellows of different sorts had made their appearance amongst us. In turbulent times of upheaval or transition, low characters always come to the front everywhere. I am not speaking now of the so-called advanced people, who are always in a hurry to be in advance of everyone else, their absorbing anxiety, and who always have some more or less definite, though often very stupid, aim. No, I am speaking only of the riffraff. In every period of transition, this riffraff, which exists in every society, rises to the surface, and is not only without any aim, but has not even a symptom of an idea, and merely does its utmost to give expression to uneasiness and impatience. Moreover, this riffraff almost always falls unconsciously under the control of the little group of advanced people who do act with a definite aim, and this little group can direct all this rabble as it pleases, if only it does not itself consist of absolute idiots, which, however, is sometimes the case. It is said among us now that it is all over, that Pyotr Stepanovich was directed by the Internationale, and Yulia Mikhailovna by Pyotr Stepanovich, while she controlled, under his rule, a rabble of all sorts. The more sober minds amongst us wonder at themselves now, and can't understand how they came to be so foolish at the time. What constituted the turbulence of our time, and what transition it was we were passing through, I don't know, nor, I think, does anyone, unless it were some of those visitors of ours. Yet the most worthless fellows suddenly gained predominant influence, began loudly criticizing everything sacred, though till then they had not dared to open their mouths, while the leading people, who had till then so satisfactorily kept the upper hand, began listening to them and holding their peace. Some even simpered approval in a most shameless way. People like Lyamshin and Telyatnikov, like Gogol's Tentyotnikov, drivelling homebred editions of Radishev, wretched little Jews with a mournful but haughty smile, guffawing foreigners, poets of advanced tendencies from the capital, poets who made up with peasant coats and tarred boots for the lack of tendencies or talents, majors and colonels who ridiculed the senselessness of the service, and who would have been ready for an extra rouble to unbuckle their swords and take jobs as railway clerks, generals who had abandoned their duties to become lawyers, advanced mediators, advancing merchants, innumerable divinity students, women who were the embodiment of the woman question. All these suddenly gained complete sway among us. And over whom? Over the club. the venerable officials, over generals with wooden legs, over the very strict and inaccessible ladies of our local society, since even Varvara Petrovna was almost at the beck and call of this rabble right up to the time of the catastrophe with her son, our other local Minervas may well be pardoned for their temporary aberration. Now all this is attributed, as I have mentioned already, to the Internationale. This idea has taken such root that it is given as the explanation to visitors from other parts. Only lately, Councillor Kubrikov, a man of 62 with the Stanislav Order on his breast, came forward uninvited and confessed in a voice full of feeling that he had, beyond a shadow of doubt, been for fully 3 months under the influence of the Internationale. When, with every deference for his years and services, he was invited to be more definite, he stuck firmly to his original statement, though he could produce no evidence except that he had felt it in all his feelings, so that they cross-examined him no further. I repeat again, there was still, even among us, a small group who held themselves aloof from the beginning, and even locked themselves up. But what lock can stand against a law of nature? Daughters will grow up even in the most careful families, and it is essential for grown-up daughters to dance. And so all these people, too, ended by subscribing to the Governesses' Fund. The ball was assumed to be an entertainment so brilliant, so unprecedented. Marvels were told about it. There were rumours of princes from a distance with lorgnettes, of 10 stewards, all young dandies, with rosettes on their left shoulder, of some Petersburg people who were setting the thing going. There was a rumour that Karamazinov had consented to increase the subscriptions to the fund by reading his Merci in the costume of the governesses of the district, that there would be a literary quadrille all in costume, and every costume would symbolise some special line of thought, and finally that honest Russian thought would dance in costume, which would certainly be a complete novelty in itself. Who could resist subscribing? Everyone subscribed.